Hi everyone, good morning. Welcome to Christian Professionals Network. My name is Chima Kwala. This is a platform where we raise, train, teach ethical, excellent Christian professionals who will rise, thrive, take over their respective industries and workplaces by practically applying Bible-based principles to achieve outstanding results. So today, the topic of our reference topic for today's podcast is titled Don't Play Games With Me. And I'm going to be reading from a text scripture in Matthew 26. So we're going to read Matthew 26 and then we'll read Luke 23. Matthew 26 from verse 20 to 25. I'm going to read the Message translation. After sunset, he and the 12 were sitting around the table. So this is when Jesus was basically getting ready to be crucified. And he was dropping nuggets, or should I say, foretelling to his disciples. And he said he was getting ready. So after sunset, he and the 12 were sitting around the table. During the meal, he said, I have something hard but important to say to you. I have something hard but important to say to you. So if you read the scripture with understanding and revelation from the Holy Spirit to teach you how to handle confrontation in the workplace. That's really what I am talking or speaking to this morning. And he says, I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators. They were stunned and then began to ask one after another, it isn't me, is it? Master, it's not me, Abi. Is it me? It's not me, oh. Is it me? They were genuinely stunned, at least those that were actually not involved were genuinely stunned. Jesus answered, the one who hands me over is someone I eat with daily. So betrayal did not start with you and it did not end with you. I remember, I think it's Reverend Femi Odoley that says that at every point or at various phases in your life, it's either you have been betrayed or you're about to be betrayed. But it is something that Jesus said it in life, you will have challenges. And human beings are flawed and fallible. So when you ever expect that a human being can never disappoint you or betray you or fail you, that's just putting too much. That's putting too much on a fallible, flawed creature that's basically a human being. And that's why Bible says woe to him that puts his trust in man. I'm not saying that you should not trust people. You should not basically now be all suspicious and basically uppity anytime anyone comes close. No. But it's best not to have God expectations from men. Stop placing God expectations from men. Human beings are fallible. Human beings can fail you. At times, not even intentionally. At times, not even willingly. But it happens because we are flawed. We are fallible. We are living in a very flawed or, should I say, fallen world. So, don't put God expectations on man. And that's why the Bible says, woe to him that puts his trust in man. Because God expects us to put our trust at every point, absolutely, totally, and completely in him. Even if you are trusting him for something through someone, or you're hoping that someone will do something for you, trust God as the source and see the person as the channel, because God has multiple channels. So if one channel happens to fail, you will not be as disappointed if your eyes were originally on the source and not the channel. Because if the source does not, is not, and will not fail, then the source can always use another channel to reach you. So I'm going to continue, but that's just basically a side note or sidebar. Because like I said, we're talking about confrontation. He says, I eat daily with the one who hands me over, basically on verse 23, is someone I eat with daily. Yeah, sorry about that. One who passes me food at the table. So It's not betrayal if the person is not close to you. If a stranger, can a stranger betray you? If I don't know you, how will you betray me? What do you know about me that you want to betray? It's called betrayal in the first place because it's close to home. See the way Jesus was describing it. See the way, this was a confrontation, in case you don't realize. It was because the betrayer was right there in the room. It was right there. So it was like, look how close you are. Literally, you pass plates, we pass food from the same plate. I eat with you daily. That's how close. It's not betrayal, the person is not close. Someone that I don't know, a stranger, someone that I have no relationship with or a rapport with, I can't say you betrayed me because you don't know me from anywhere. Anything you do, I'll pass it off as well. It's a stranger, I don't know you before. And then he says, in one sense, the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery, well marked by the scripture. So basically, on one hand, this needs to happen because the scripture needs to be fulfilled. He already knew, like, it's part of my journey. I know this is going to happen. I already knew that somebody close to me will have to give me a way for this crucifixion to happen. It is part of the original plan. That's what he's trying to say. So basically, in one sense, it's part of the plan. It's something that will happen. So in one sense, make your peace with the fact that people will try to sabotage. People will try to basically run ring circles or play games, really, with you in the world. It's a human. And everybody in your workplace is not a Christian. Even you that you're a Christian, how are you faring? How are you doing? How many people have you betrayed? So why are you having God expectations of men? So, like I said, this is basically confrontation 101. So it was like in one sense. So you notice that Jesus was, how do I put it? He was being very logical about it. He was not taking it personally. So that's one of the, I'll just be bringing out the message as we're reading through. Stop taking it personally. Somebody betrays you, tries to sabotage you, and all that, no matter how close. One, don't take it personally. Number one point already is, first of all, stop having God expectations of men. That's putting too much on a human being. Even when people say, oh, I trusted you, I say you're trusting me. Exactly, I trust myself. I can't even possibly afford to put my own trust in me. It's God I'm trusting to help me. So why are you putting expectations on me that myself I cannot afford to put on myself? I'm not saying that, oh, that's now an excuse to be unreliable and all that, or to disappoint people. No, 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 no. If your heart and intentions are right and in the right place, you will always do your best possible at every point in time. But it does not also take away the fact that we are flawed and we are fallible. And we are we are limited in capacity. And that's why it's also a wise idea not to be hasty to make promises. It is always better, even in the workplace you say it, it's always better to under-promise and over-deliver. Don't go and place very high or too much expectations. And I'm also saying to myself, at times you get carried away. Oh, especially people that like to drive for results. I love to drive for results in my workplace, in any role I'm doing. I want to be the top, I want to be the best. So at times, you can have that tendency to want to overpromise and then now put yourself on the very high pedestal. I did that. I think I still talked about it. Was it earlier in the year? Like, oh my God, I overpromised and I went to my team. I'm like, hey, I placed a very high bet on us. We have to deliver. See what happened. After I made the commitment, that's when I felt, I said, oh my goodness, what did I just do? So I admitted it. Even though, yes, God helped us and we basically delivered and exceeded expectations. But I'm now basically more circumspect and intentional. Before I make any commitments to deliver on any results, I must first count the cost, because I want to, as much as is possible, avoid being in a situation where I have to disappoint people. I like to be seen and credited as reliable. And it requires intentionality, because we're already knowing that human beings are structured to be fallible and to be flawed. So the less you overcommit and the more you focus on actually delivering, the more reliable you can be and become, and more trustworthy you can be. But first point, don't put God expectations on men. That is asking for too much. No human being can ever meet that. Number two, don't take betrayal personally, no matter how personal it seems or how close to home it is. This is me giving you telling you basically how Jesus took it. Judas was one of Jesus had more than 12 disciples. I hope you know that. I think he had about 70 something. But his 12 was close. So he had layers of closeness. I don't use the word intimacy. Layers of closeness with his various disciples. He had the Peter, James, and John. So he had, I think, the 3, the 5, the 12, and then the 70 something. I can't remember that number, but if you want to count people that were close to him, at least what we were even taught growing up, most people, even people that don't read the Bible, know that, oh, Jesus had 12 disciples. So they were his core team, and Judas was among his core team. So he was his core management team, literally. Those 12 disciples were his core management team, and Judas was one of them. And this is the guy, literally, that sold him out to be killed, to be sacked, to be, basically, he's the one that set him up. I hope you listened to The Perfect Setup on Clubhouse last week, Saturday. If you haven't or you didn't listen to it, didn't get a chance, please do so. The replays are available. But yes, when you are faced with betrayal, do not take it personally. As no matter how personal it feels, always approach difficult situations in the workplace with more logic than emotions, even if that logic is fueled by emotions. I always put that caveat, because as much as I say, okay, don't be emotional. Jeez, we are emotional beings. It's just that when you can now rightfully channel your emotions and back it up with the right kind of information and evidence, which is called logic, then you are not looking, in quotes or in parentheses, emotional. So always channel for your confrontations, difficult conversations, negotiations, any potentially difficult conversation or conflict situation. Always in the workplace, always approach it with more facts, evidence, and logic than emotions, even if it is originally fueled by emotions. Don't throw your emotions in the front line. I feel like. Is that what we're doing? Treating your feelings in a workplace. That's when you start hearing words like, oh, this person is not mature, it's not professional. And those things literally put a lid on your leadership potential and growth in a workplace. So don't do that. So no matter how close the betrayal is, no matter who betrayed you or how close they are to you or how trusted they were or are to you, number one, stop having God expectations of man. 2, don't take it personal, even if it feels personal. Approach more with logic, facts, evidence than emotions. That's what Jesus did here. He first addressed it though, that this person is close to home. This person is my core team. This is my core management team. He explained how close and how core. Person eats with me, passes me food at the table. And then it's now approaching with logic that you think that it's my undoing, but in one sense, it's part of this treachery is well marked by the scriptures. It's the path to my journey. It's the path to crucifixion, resurrection, and is it being glorified? Yeah. So in one sense, you're part of my journey. But he now said, in another sense, this is where the confrontation comes in. In another sense, that man who turns him in, turns traitor to the Son of Man. So you can't betray me, as much as it's not personal, as much as I'm not putting God expectations on you as a man. Most times, if it is a well thought out, schemed out betrayal like Judas did, because Judas had the time to nurture those thoughts. He allowed the devil, I think the Bible says Satan entered Judas. He allowed himself to be used as a vessel. So you're not going to do all that and I'll say keep you close to home, keep you my courting. No, then that becomes foolishness, really. That's a mistake we make at times. Okay, address it with logic, don't take it personal. And then, no, you don't keep them close. Even Jesus said it, say yes. Part of what you are doing is part of the plan, is part of the strategy. This betrayal is part of my bigger strategy. However, as I said, he said in another sense, the person that turns him in, the one that turns straight up to the Son of Man, better never to have been born than to do this. I have to say this in my local parlance. So it will basically drive it home. See, if for better for you, say you know do this thing. Like, you would have been better off if you didn't choose this path. So, yes, I caught him. Yes, it was part of the plan. Yes, it was ticking all the boxes of logic, facts, and evidence, but it still came to me like, yeah, if for better say you no do this thing, because really, no go better for you, because you don't do them. I hope, like, if for better say you no do them, because you no go better for you, say now you do them. So, as much as, yes, human beings are fallible, we must put our trust in God, no man. If you intentionally scheme out, plan to betray me, sabotage, or set me up in the workplace, if for better for you, say no do one, but you know go better for you, say you do one. I really hope. I hope. I don't know how else to put the message. Basically, it cannot be okay with you. You see, it doesn't drive me home like saying no go better for you. It's just, I'm reading the Bible. This is not my personal opinion. Okay, I need to wrap this up quickly. I actually have a meeting soon. Even there's early morning here. And then Judas. See, everybody has been shouting since from verse 20. Is it me? Is it me? No, verse 22. Is it me? It's not me. Is it the ones that were innocuous, genuinely innocent, and genuinely stunned were asking? It's not me, right? Did I do something? You know when someone is really innocent, maybe they say something, there was a problem in this project and all that. And people are genuinely checking themselves. Was there a problem in my own process? Is there something? Was the gap from my end? They're genuinely asking. And then the person that sets the leg, that created the gap, now wants to also form innocuous and form feign. They don't know. Everybody was asking, is it me? The conspirator too now wanted to join the team of innocent and innocuous people that were genuinely asking if the gap was from their end. He too now opened his mouth. Then Judas, already turned traitor, emphasis, already turned traitor, said, "It isn't me, is it, Rabbi?" Ooh, I love the response Jesus gave. I love it. I still use it yesterday in the workplace. I'm sorry. A lot of times I tell you people that. It's also practical examples that I try to share. Jesus turned to Judas. "Don't play games with me, Judas. You cannot be trying to sabotage me, set me up, set leg for me, like we say in our local parlance, and you now be forming innocuous and innocent with the rest. Don't do that. Don't play games with me. I'm approaching this with emotion because I'm approaching this with logic and emotional intelligence, I'll be EQ and maturity, because that's the expectation. And that's why I'm not throwing tantrums, I'm not screaming, I'm not being dramatic, confronting you. But it does not take away the fact that what you're doing is wrong, and I know exactly what you're doing. So please don't play games with me. Especially when it's evidence and fact-based. I have my ducks in a row, confirmed with facts that saying that you did this thing. I now want to come out from, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, no, that's not what I meant. That was the intention. Don't play games with me. It's easier to say, "Father, forgive them," when they know not what they're doing. But when you know exactly what you're doing, by all means, brother, sister, colleague, please don't play games with me. So I will not put my trust, I will not put God expectations on man. I will not take it personally, even if it feels personal. But please, by all means, if you are intentionally scheming, trying to betray me, especially if you're close, because like I said, when you're close, it hurts. That I'm playing it, I'm playing the logic route does not mean that it does not feel emotional. Remember, I said, don't take it personal, even if it feels so. By all means, please don't play games with me. Don't expect to be retained in my co-management team circle. Then that will make me a foolish person. It's part of the plan. It's strategic. But like Jesus also said, please take note that say, if for better say you no do this thing, because as you don't do, I mean, no go better for you. And then more importantly, by all means, please don't play games with me. And if you read Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It's easy to pray and give forgiveness when they don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying you should not forgive. At every point, you always forgive. However, the approach of the intentional scheme and betrayal. The same approach you give, you don't give Judas the same outcome that you give the criminals and the ignorant crucifiers. It's not the same approach. One does not know what they are doing, and that's why it's easy to forgive and overlook. This one is ignorance, is small picking. This one is still naive. This one doesn't even understand the implication and consequence of what they're doing. As opposed to somebody that is, you're close to my team, you worked with me, you understand the gravity and the consequence of what you want to do to hurt me, and you go ahead with it, and then you want to play knuckles. Please don't play games with me. So this is your guide to confrontation in the workplace. Don't start with, don't play games with me. See where we started from. Follow the process. Make it more logical, evidence, and fact-based before you, and make sure that in the end, you don't keep sabotagers close to you, because then you will not be playing games with yourself. I hope somebody has learned something. I hope this has blessed you. And I pray that God and the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom to interpret and decipher and apply this where necessary or where required. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of the week, people. I have to, it's early morning over here in my current time zone. I'm heading out for work meetings in the next 15 minutes. God bless you. Speak again next week. Bye.